الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فأما بعد فقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Kullu am wa antum bi khair. Eid Mubarak to all of you in advance. After the salah, we will say it again, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the best of the best for all that you did in Ramadan and forgive any shortcomings that may have been left. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your lives with khair of every kind, inshallah. In my incarnation as a corporate leadership trainer, working for over 35 years now with people of multiple nationalities, one of the things that I have learnt is that the effectiveness of training is not so much in what happens during the course, but in what happens after the course ends. We have just completed an intensive 30-day experiential learning course to develop taqwa. About which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed on people before you, so that you may develop taqwa, so that you may become muttaqoon. Taqwa is the single point on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises and His help rests. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this opportunity every year. As we know, taqwa is a state of being. It's an attitude, an awareness, a concern, and a benchmark for those who wish to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not restricted to Ramadan al-Kareem, but is a lifestyle choice on which a person bases his or her entire existence. Therefore, it is essential to make sure that the gains of Ramadan are consolidated and become the standard for the rest of our lives going forward. To ensure this, in corporate training and leadership development, we use a tool called force field analysis, which ensures that the gains of the training course are transferred into your life and are not restricted merely to some good feeling at the end of the course. This is a three-step process, and I thought today let me do a quick teaching tool of this for you so that you can apply the gains of Ramadan into the rest of your lives. So step one, think of Ramadan which you just completed and ask yourself, what are the three habits that I practiced during this month which helped me to maximize the benefits of Ramadan and to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the three habits that I practiced during the month of Ramadan to gain the maximum benefit from the month and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please notice I'm asking you to list 3, not 33. Because when it comes to implementing, research data tells us that the most effective way is to list 3 things. To master them and then to go to the next 3. Not a whole long laundry list of things which just adds to a sort of feel-good factor. But in terms of implementing, at the end of it you find nothing happens. Long lists are like long committees. You would have seen many organizations, they have committees, you know, 20 people, 30 people. Long lists are like long committees. And that's why they compare a long committee or a big committee to going to the toilet. There is a sitting, there is a report, and the matter is dropped. And that's why long lists are utterly useless. Make a list of three things only. So let's see, what did we gain? For example, one of the things we got, one of the new habits that you practiced in Ramadan and which you gained from, is to keep our mouths shut. No input and no output. This habit, if it's practiced properly, leads to weight loss and protection from ghibah, namima, buhtan, lies, cursing, and so on. I agree that though we kept our mouth shut during the day and there was no input, we opened them very wide at night to sample the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness and for freedom from calories. But I think that we all realize the value of keeping our mouths shut. The key is to see how to continue to do that now that Ramadan is over. Another thing we practiced in the month of Ramadan was our socializing and hanging out was for the purpose of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even people who do not play Fard Salah usually ask you, where are you praying Taraweeh? So alhamdulillah, people who never saw the inside of a masjid are running around at 2 o'clock in the night saying, where is Qiyamul Layl? So alhamdulillah, my point is, that what were we doing? We were doing our own socializing in a way, but alhamdulillah, the socializing was around the core of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us see how can we translate this into our real life and say that going forward, when we meet each other, for whatever reason there is, let there be the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that majlis. When we meet each other for a dinner or whatever, let it not be a majlis that is free from the discussion and free from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, any meeting that does not have the zikr of Allah is a dead meeting. People who do not have the zikr of Allah and the fear of Allah in their hearts are people with hearts which are dead. So let us see how to do that. Let me give you an example now in actual form to illustrate this. What you need to do is pick something that you gained in Ramadan. Say for example, praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, this masjid where you are sitting now, right through Ramadan, we used to have at least 3 rows, sometimes 4, but never less than about 2.5 rows of people in Salatul Fajr. This morning, the day of Eid, we had, I think, about 10 people. Now, this is the state of all the masajid everywhere. So, alhamdulillah, in Ramadan, we do something about this. We change that, right? We make sure that you go and pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid. So, what do you gain from that? What did we gain when we prayed Salatul Fajr in the masjid? I will mention only 4 things. Number one, 27 times the reward compared to praying at home. 27 times the reward compared to praying at home, number one. Number two, one sin wiped out, one reward written into your account, and one daraja with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased for every step that you take to get to the masjid. And that's why I tell people who drive buses instead of cars to drive small cars, because a small wheel rotates more than a big wheel. So you get more hasanat in that way, and also it's good for the parking. Number three, your day begins with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and its barakah stays with you all day. And number four, you got reward for praying half the night. If you prayed Salatul Fajr in the masjid, it is as if you stood in Salah for half the night. And if of course you also prayed Salatul Isha in the masjid, then you got the reward for praying all night. So four things. Now I think this is enough for our purpose, but I encourage you to list your own things depending on the new habits that you practiced. Now once you have done that, then what you do is take a sheet of paper, write that habit, say for example praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid. Write that habit in the middle of this paper, leave equal space on the top and the bottom, and then draw some arrows pointing downwards above this thing which you have written, and draw some arrows pointing upwards below what you have written. Is it clear? You will get the text of this khutbah, and that has a diagram and so on, so you can see that. But it's very simple, just plain sheet of paper, write the habit, whatever it is, in the middle of the paper, equal space above and below. Above that habit, draw 3-4 arrows pointing downwards. Below that habit, draw 3-4 arrows pointing upwards. The arrows pointing downwards are what we call inhibiting factors. Things that prevent you from doing that thing. So praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid, on the top, the down pointing arrows, those things which prevent me from praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid. The arrows at the bottom pointing upwards, we call them enabling factors. Those things which will help me to pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid. So on top you have inhibiting forces, and below you have enabling forces. And that is why we call this a force field analysis. Now, once you have done that, you go to step 2. And the step 2 is, think of all these factors, the inhibiting factors and the enabling factors. Look at those inhibiting factors and say, what are these things? These are habits, these are people, this is your schedule, it could be all kinds of things, depending on what the habit is. And say, look at each one of them and say, how can I delete or neutralize this factor? So for example, one factor is sleeping late. Sleeping very late in the night, because if you're going to sleep in the early hours of the morning, then the chances of your praying Fajr at all are very remote, and praying Fajr in the masjid are non-existent. So what can I do to delete this habit of sleeping late or neutralize this habit of sleeping late? What can I do? So think about that. So for all the inhibiting factors, you do that. You remove or delete all the inhibiting factors. For the enabling factors, you do the opposite, and you say that what are the factors that are likely to support my habit change? What are the factors that are likely to support my habit change? For example, sleep in the masjid in the night. Then you will wake up for Salatul Fajr. Huh? Make itikaf every night. So, what are the factors which will help me to put this new habit into place, and how can you enhance them? How can you support those habits? And then follow Nike. Just do it. That's why we call this way total immersion learning. In this total immersion learning, as a whole atmosphere is created. And that's why we're looking at these factors, how to strengthen them. In this total immersion learning, a whole atmosphere is created where both speed of learning as well as its efficacy are enhanced. Total immersion learning, one of the places that it's practiced very effectively is in learning new languages. Those of you who are or have been struggling, for example, to learn Arabic, there's a course in the US which runs for 8 weeks and costs, I think, around $8,000, something like this, $8,000 or $10,000, 8 week course, which is not only for Arabic but for all kinds of languages. And in this course, what they do is for 8 weeks you are living on site in the college, and if you are learning Arabic, for example, everything, the entire atmosphere around you is Arab. Your TV will only have Arab news on it. Your TV will only have Arabic stations on it. The signs on the doors are all in Arabic. You eat only Arabic food. The menus are printed in Arabic. You wear only, Arabic clothes and everything. The whole works. The newspapers are only Arabic papers. Now imagine if you start from, most people go there when they don't know anything. So when you go there, it's like you are in a different world altogether. You understand nothing. It's completely foreign. And it is prohibited to speak in any language other than Arabic. So if you talk in English, no one will answer you. The people, they will not respond. They will respond in Arabic. So for example, if you want to tell somebody to shut off the phone, you have to say it in Arabic. Right? So the whole point is that this is called total immersion learning. And the wonderful thing is that you go from zero to hero in 8 weeks. So in a period of 8 weeks, when you went in there, you knew nothing. At the end of 8 weeks, you are, I'm not saying you become an absolute expert in Arabic, but you are able to carry on comfortably a conversation in Arabic. You can read an Arabic newspaper, you can watch Arabic television and understand what is going on there and so on, or at least you can understand the meaning of what they are saying. I don't think anybody can understand what is actually going on in the Middle East, but that's nothing to do with the language. So anyway, the point is that this is called total immersion learning. Now I'm saying that, why am I saying this? Because this is exactly what happened to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. They practiced total immersion learning when they came into Islam. They changed their entire atmosphere. They started breathing the pure oxygen of the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They changed their friend circles. They changed their locations. They still interacted with their families and other people. But maximum time they spent either with the Prophet ﷺ or they spent time with other Muslims, their sabaquna bil iman, those people who came into faith before them. And they learnt Islam in a practical sense, in actually practicing it. And as they say, the rest is history. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors of the world for them. So what they were doing was, they practiced Islam in every aspect of their lives. Not only in the masjid, but everywhere in their lives, they lived their lives according to Islam. They didn't do it selectively, but totally in every part of their lives. And as they say, the rest is history. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this aspect of learning, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the color of Allah, our صِبْغَةً, صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ is Islam, and this color of Islam is the color of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning the color, obviously doesn't mean literally, but the color means the color of it, meaning that the influence of it in our lives. And Allah says, which color can be better, which sibgha can be better than that of Allah? Than that which belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are His worshippers. This is the meaning of the ayah. I submit to you that you cannot change the color of a garment unless you immerse it completely in the new color. And so also is the case with Islam. We need to immerse ourselves completely if we want to see the new color in our lives. It won't come by standing on the periphery. It won't come by dipping your toes and fingertips into the pool. We must take the leap into the pool with a great big splash, which ensures that every part of our body gets drenched. That is the essence of immersion learning. And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan wa fala taku udkhul fi silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, enter into Islam completely and totally, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan, because shaitan is your open enemy. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that Islam, like judo, is the name of a practice. It is not the name of a theory. It helps you only if you practice it, not if you merely know about it or talk about it. I advise you and myself to take advantage of the fact that we have just come out of our training camp, which is Ramadan al-Kareem, and to consolidate, therefore, the gains that we got from it. and not allow them to be squandered by returning to our leaky and holy lives full of holes. Please take each new habit that you want to make permanent and then complete and write and make a table, which I will also send you, which is three columns. One column is what must I start doing with regard to this new habit? What must I start doing? Second column, what must I stop doing? Third column, what must I continue to do? Start, stop, continue. Three columns, put the habit on top, praying Fajr in the masjid. Start doing what? Stop doing what? Continue to do what? These three, this table if you make inshallah, and then if you follow it, inshallah al-Mustaan, that habit will become permanent in your life. And do that for three habits. Finally, let me remind you and myself not to forget the poor on this day. Let not your rejoicing be a heartache for them. Include them in your lives. Share your wealth with them so that they may also taste the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. All of you must have given your sadqatul fitr before you came to the masjid, because that's a condition of the salah. Give more when you go. The dua of the poor is the umbrella that shades us from the heat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's displeasure. And charity cools his anger. With that, let me wish you a very, very happy Eid al-Fitr. Let me make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should accept your coming, your fasting, your standing in Ramadan, your tilawat of the Quran, your sadaqat and zakat, and bless you and accept all your duas, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.